The soybean aphid was first detected in Iowa in 2000. It rapidly spread to 22 states and parts of Canada, and it is an economically important pest, which can cause yield losses up to 50% in some locations. Since the introduction of the soybean aphid, a number of papers have been published identifying that the endemic natural enemy community is capable of feeding on the soybean aphid, and in some cases, suppressing or delaying its establishment. And here I've pictured the Harmonia axeritus, the multicolored Asian ladybird beetle, and Aureus insidiosus, the insidious flower bug, which are considered two relatively important predators for soybean aphid predation. Some background literature. In 2005, Theis et al. Published a manuscript on cereal aphids and parasitoid interactions and how they are influenced by landscape complexity. And on the x-axis, we have percent arable land. So to the left, it's more complex landscape. As we move to the right, it's more arable. So that'd just be a more simplified landscape comprised mostly of wheat fields. It was a three-year study, 2001 to 2003. And during that time, they measured cereal aphid densities per 100 shoots at two time periods. The black line is indicated after aphid colonization, and the dashed line is after aphid reproduction. And if you just concentrate on the black line in all 3 years, you can see that the aphid colonization was greater in the more complex landscapes than the simplified landscapes. In addition, aphid parasitism was greater in the more complex landscapes than the simple, again, in all 3 years. The next article deals with scale, or mentions scale in the analyses, and just so we're all on the same page, imagine a soybean field at the very center of the circles, and using GIS software, they summarize the land cover at multiple different scales here, 0.5 kilometer up to 3.5 kilometers, and the analyses that I use as well later on in my study were done in a very similar fashion. So this is what, when I say refer to scale a lot of times, this is going to be what I'm referring to. So in Gardner et al., they measured mean predation of the natural enemy community, and specifically this is on the, excuse me, with the soybean aphid. So predation of the soybean aphid by the endemic natural enemy community. And they used a principal component analysis to determine which land cover is explaining the most variation in that predation. And they found that the corn soybean, so a very simplified landscape, in addition to the non-crop habitat comprised mostly of woodlots in this case, explain the most variation. Using a regression analysis, they found that the R-squared was 0.27, therefore the PC1 loadings explained 27% of the predation, so fairly well. And this was at the 2 kilometer scale, so we're talking at a relatively large scale for small invertebrates. And also want to point out that this was over a 4-state period and done with that at multiple sites within each state, and primarily these were research farms. So I like to think of research farms as typically a more complex landscape at a smaller scale. So there's a, in comparison to like the traditional landscape that you'd see as you, you know, drive down the interstate. So the hypothesis I'm testing is very similar to Gardner et al. However, I want to look specifically at how tallgrass prairie impacts the surrounding soybean fields and impacts the soybean aphid and the natural enemy community. And like I said, Gardner used research farms. I used commercial fields that ranged in size from 3 hectares up to 61 hectares. So I feel that's a little bit more representative of what I see when I drive around Iowa. The experimental design, it was over a 3-year study, 2006 to 2008. However, the 2008 data are not included in this analysis. Over 100 fields were used, and data was collected at 4 locations. And locations are going to be the experimental unit for my analyses based on results from Warren's eye, which indicated that the locations were in fact independent of one another. Data was collected using field counts with the soybean aphids, so that's just simply 20 consecutive plants at those locations, and the natural enemies are also counted with field counts in addition to yellow sticky cards and sweet net samples. My study area was at the Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge, which is pretty much smack dab in the middle of Iowa, 20 miles east of Des Moines. And if you look at the blue polygon here, that's the Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge. It's not a continuous acreage, but it is the largest reconstructed tall grass prairie in the United States. Currently, they have over 5,000 acres of established prairie, so it's a very, very large aggregation of prairie. And this is a digitized photo of the area. So as you can see with the blue, this is the wildlife refuge, so this is all the prairie. And if you look more to the north regions of the study, you can see it's a more simplified landscape, so it's more corn, soybean, indicated by the green, which is the soybean, and the yellow is the corn, in comparison to the southern region, which is it's just a more rugged landscape and primarily composed of pasture, woodlots, in addition to some agriculture. Due to some mixed results I was getting initially when I started analyzing my data, I ended up analyzing my data at multiple time periods based on the cumulative aphid days. So this is the mean cumulative aphid day for all my fields. And the mean cumulative aphid day is just a measure of the plant's exposure to the soybean aphid. And if you look, we peaked at 77 cumulative aphid days on the 22nd of August. And if you don't know exactly what that means, basically it's just an extremely, extremely low aphid population density. So in 2006, we had very, very low aphid densities. And using a regression analysis of the cumulative aphid days against the perennial landscape, primarily here I'm looking at prairie, at multiple scales, you can see that aphids responded to a relatively small scale, so we're talking 100 to 250 meters, indicated by these blue boxes, which indicate the highest R-squared found within the study. So on the 22nd of August, 26% of the mean cumulative aphid days were explained by the prairie at 250 meters. This is the exact same table which I just showed you. However, this is the 2007 data. And the interesting thing in 2007, we had much, much higher aphid populations. You can see that we had over 3,000 cumulative aphid days for an average. So a lot of fields got sprayed this year. And using a regression analysis at multiple scales, you can see that the aphids responded to a much, much larger scale in 2007, which I thought was pretty interesting. The R-square values weren't quite as high in 2007. However, the interesting thing, in the 17th of August, it dropped down to a much larger scale at 250 meters. And I think that may be a factor of a lot of fields getting sprayed earlier on, or in the beginning of August, which I have not teased out of this analysis. So I think that's what influenced this decrease in scale. So just so we're all on the same page, soybean aphids responded, again measured by cumulative aphid days, landscape complexity. They responded favorably to landscapes with more prairie. Again, this is the 2006 data that I just showed you with an R-squared of 0.26, and all p-values that I showed you were, R-scores I showed you, that they were significantly different at the p-value less than 0.001. Now, what did the natural enemies do in the landscape? So far, I have not analyzed individually natural enemies for this analysis. However, I've used an average of the total natural enemies per sample date. And this is the data from using the field counts, again measured against landscape complexity. And you can see that there was a positive response to landscapes with more prairie with an R-squared of 0.09, and this was significant. However, this is the best R-squared value that I was able to get. Primarily, I was finding R-squares of 0.01 to 0.03, you know, max, and that's pretty, so overall, it doesn't seem like the natural enemies are really responding to the more complex landscapes, which I thought was relatively interesting. So why is this such a discrepancy from what Gardner et al. Found? I think it's mainly due to the fact that we don't find the natural enemy communities, that what you find in the soybean field for natural enemies is not what you find in the prairie. And in a companion study, I've sampled multiple natural enemies, again using the same sampling methods, and here we have data from Harmonia axyritis and Oris insidiosus, again, like the two predators we think are relatively important for soybean aphid predation. And you can see that, I mean, we have a tenfold reduction in prey with Harmonia, and you know, hundredfold reduction in the prey. So we find, you know, these natural enemies that we consider important for soybean aphid suppression, you know, are in soybean fields, and they're not really in the adjacent prairies. And I also like to point out that potentially the importance of soybean aphid response varying in the landscape within and between years. So with that, I'd like to thank the Leopold Center for funding and all the landowners who allowed me to sample on the property and all my hourly workers for helping digitizing and collecting data. With that, I'll open up to questions. Yes, yes, there's a relationship between the soybean aphid and the natural enemies. And this is, question is not set up, but I figured I was going to get asked. So cumulative aphidase against natural enemies sampled per date. As you can see, there was a fairly positive response to between the predators and the aphids, so with an R-squared of 0.19, and that was significantly different. So, so yes, there is a positive response.
Another question. Your prairie site was in one region, this very large region. Then you could have had your commercial sites surrounding. Can you disentangle the potential effect of location as opposed to prairie in this, in the way that you do this analysis?
The question is, since the center, the prairie is kind of centered in the center of the study area and Edfields, kind of varying degrees away from it, potential influences that may have on my data. And when I look at the soybean aphid abundance at the field level, using the Morin's eye, I get a lot different results than I do with the the four locations that I used. And I think that's just due to the aphids' aggregated response. And it seems like once I look at the aphids' response at the field scale, then it's almost like a neutral landscape. Like everything's, the soybean fields are almost identical, it seems like, from location to location. So it's kind of, I'm not really sure exactly how to answer your question, but there's something going on there, and I haven't figured it out yet. So I gotta keep analyzing.
Thank you very much, Nick.